Notice! Notice! This midweek mini was recorded several months ago and may not be up to date with current events. For fresh minisode uploads with every episode, head to patreon.com/chilluminatipod.
Hi everyone, welcome. Hi guys.
Oh yeah, brother.
Okay. Hey.
We're back on the show.
We're back. Do you want to just talk about the scientists? Is that what we want to talk about? Or did we say what we wanted to say?
Can I do a thing really quick then?
Go. No.
Before you do scientists.
Go ahead.
So our episode, the last two, was about art theft, right? And mm-hmm, we had major discussions about like, what about it? How would you return it? Mm-hmm, well, a brand new article from Gothamist, Gothamist.com by Ben Fjord.
Ben what?
Fjord?
Right. Yeah, that was close to something not so great.
Almost punched you right in the nose, sucker.
Well, you know, take it up, man, Ben. More than 24 rare books, including a bound collection of love letters by poet John Keats, was stolen at some point between 1982 and 1989 from the Long Island estate of John Hay Whitney, a wealthy New York publisher who once served as president of the Museum of Modern Art. The location of the books mostly remained a mystery for decades, but in 2025, the Manhattan District Attorney's Office said 17 books resurfaced when a young man tried to sell them to a rare book dealer in Manhattan. The man, who has not been identified, said he inherited them from his grandfather, according to the DA's office. The dealers contacted the office, which secured the search warrant and the seizure of them. What's interesting about this is they had been tracking these for a while, trying to find them. They simply couldn't. And what I think is very funny is they just turned up. A kid was trying to sell them. And they asked the district attorney, I'm like, okay, so what do we do about this? And the district attorney, Matthew Bogdanos, said the man who tried to sell the books has not been accused of any wrongdoing. The individual who we seized the books from wasn't even born at the time of the theft, so he definitely didn't do it.
That's
so. And so,
it's
like,
just,
they got
what even them. You do you get arrested? Like, how, like, what, if you had them and you're, yeah.
He said the boy said that he got it from his grandfather. Which, you know, where'd he get it from? And the grandfather's dead, so like,
nothing you can do about it.
Nothing you can do.
Yeah, it gets.
But they got it back eventually, which is crazy. Honestly, that happens frequently. Is art will vanish and then 50 years later show up after like everyone involves dead.
That's the only way. It's actually,
yeah, really.
It's actually.
And then someone who has no knowledge of it will try to sell it or try to be like, "What is this?"
So
and then
just everyone walked right in on it. Just walked right into a store again.
Yeah, dude tried to sell 17 books.
Are these worth anything? That's fucking crazy.
Look, in the modern age, you get a bunch of old ass books, you're probably going to sell it to some dude who's like a book guy, you know?
All right. Well, since Jesse's talking about heists, let me just get in here before we talk about these dead scientists.
I don't know what we were going to say, but we will.
The MS Now website published an article on April 4th. Talking about the fact that on Sunday, March 22nd, four masked men forced open the front door to the Magnani Rocca Foundation. It's a private art collection, very similar to the Gardner collection, nestled in the fields of northern Italy. In less than 3 minutes, which is the normal amount of time that a heist takes, the thieves climbed the stairs, turned left, entered the French room, where they grabbed three paintings off the wall. Le Poisson, 1917 by Pierre-Auguste Renoir, Still Life with Cherries, 1890 by Paul Cézanne, and Odalisque on the Terrace by Henri Matisse, 1922. They intended to keep going. They found another Renoir that had been taken down, but the alarm sounded, forcing the thieves to abandon their work and flee by climbing over a fence. That is the first two paragraphs of this article, but the article is actually about why the fuck is this happening so much? 2025 was a record year for art theft. That's another crazy thing that happened. If you guys remember the Louvre robbery that happened in broad daylight, like in October, that they got like $100 million worth of jewelry from the Louvre, just in the middle of the day. There was also the, forgive me about some of these pronunciations because I don't know them. The Drenz Museum lost some golden Romanian artifacts that were returned a couple weeks ago. Some of them were returned a couple weeks ago. The Adrien du Boucher National Museum lost some Chinese porcelain works. The French National Museum of Natural History lost some gold nuggets. The Bristol Museum lost 600 objects. The Denis Diderot Museum lost 2,000 gold and silver coins. The Oakland Museum lost 1,000 things. Damn. The National Museum of Damascus lost Roman statues. The Biblioteca Mario de Andrade lost Matisse engravings. All of that. Just in the last year, that's happened. And so there's three reasons why they think this might be on the uptick, according to Walker Schultz Schneider from MS Now. And here they are. First thing, poor security. Nobody funds museums because they're not a sexy thing to fund. Nobody wants to fund the security system of a museum and put their name on it rather than like some dope thing in a museum. That's one problem. Also, museums are always in like fancy buildings. So they like, you don't want to fuck them up by doing like non-beautiful things. And so it leaves a very outdated vibe in most museums. The password to the Louvre's CCTV network was Louvre.
Stop.
next reason is because of like what's going on in the world today. So metals and gemstones are up because they're much more reliable than like the economic sort of money, economic-based, market-based money. They're just like stones. So it's easy to steal them and melt them down. That's probably what the deal was with the Louvre heist, was that it was just so worth it to steal them now that it was time. Same thing with the gold artifacts. Same thing with the gold nuggets. But that does not explain.
They just melted down the artifacts? Is their theory?
Maybe. Yeah. But that doesn't explain the Magnani Rocca heist from a couple weeks ago, where it was all paintings. So why paintings? Well, the value of paintings, because we were talking about this so much in the previous episode, has to do with collateral in black market deals. It's like a real NFT, right? It's like actually not something that a picture of is equal to. Like, it's an actual painting. So it can like be moved around as physical wealth in a way that other things can't. Same thing, bargaining chip for law enforcement. Same thing, you can contact the director of the museum and ransom it back to the museum. Those are all reasons why people have stolen paintings in the past. But the main reason why people are stealing paintings in 2026 is because of AI.
What?
AI entered the market in the late 2010s, and it has carved out a share for itself, and it is definitely something that makes money sometimes. Christie's held an auction for AI art only in 2025. But the sort of flip side of that is that like blue chip, quote unquote, art is like absolutely the opposite of AI and cannot be reproduced by AI, and is sort of like the anti-AI. Like, its value has gone up because it's now rarer, because like because everybody can do AI art with prompts and stuff, actual real hand-done art that's especially stuff with a pedigree where it's like the Mona Lisa or the whatever, it's so much more valuable as a real piece of art that was made by a person in a place at a time that literally, and I'm not joking you, worldwide sales, legitimate sales of impressionist works in modern art has increased by 30% up to $4.2 billion in 2025.
Interesting. That in a way makes sense though. Like, I can see that. I can see though how A causes B.
over 120,000 works sold for over $10 million.
Damn.
I'm saying each one of the works sold for over $10 million. Old Masters, that's 1,300 to 1,800, 40% up. Post-war contemporary, 2.5% up to 4.1 billion.
Huh.
So it makes sense if you think about it. Like, because whether you like it or not, AI is here. And it's pretty clear that people who really care about art, like, don't give a fuck about AI art. Like, it only makes the real shit that much more legit. And that's really why, in a modern day, art theft is such a big deal. And why these, like, crazy smash and grab quick jobs are going to be only more frequent until we figure out something to do about it. And until we fix the world. It's just a great way to see how crime can just, like, leap out of pretty pictures.
And we're going to start fixing the world right here on this podcast.
That's our job.
I make no promises.
Patreon.com/IlluminatiPod.
Help us fix the world. I don't know. I know we got to talk about these scientists. I don't know what there is to say, man. Like, there, it's weird. More weird things are happening. If we want to jump into it, Alex, have you caught yourself up on it?
I don't know that much about it, like, in a, like, detail way, but I've been tracking, like, sort of the developing story. I've tracked, like, oh, another one. And I've heard the stories that a lot of them are, like, grabbing a gun and running into the wilderness. Yep. I heard that one of them was found dead in a car, burnt. I heard that, you know,
Eskridge's texts are surfacing now with her friends. Her friends are releasing the texts that she had with them. And one of the texts the day before she died said, whatever you hear, I did not commit suicide. Like, I don't, like, you know, I'm not going to kill myself, because she was working. And the pattern of all of them isn't, like I said, it isn't UFOs, but they're all working in propulsion, exotic matter, exotic propulsion. Anti-gravity was her big thing. She was waiting for NASA to approve her study that she wanted to publish and all this stuff. And all of these people are kind of attached to this kind of thing, I guess is the way to put it.
I think it's the Tic Tac, bro.
We've said this a lot on the show. Some of the UAPs are definitely man-made. Like, yeah. I absolutely think they're definitely man-made. And one of the more recent ones was a guy, Matthew James Sullivan, who was 39 and former Air Force intelligence officer. We recently found out he died in 2024, right before he could testify in a federal whistleblower case that was connected to the UAP phenomenon. His death is simply listed suicide without any details at all. And these just keep coming out, with Eskridge talking about, like, weapons, and she's just kind of a target of harassment. All of this stuff, for whatever the reason, it's all around just, just like exotic propulsion mechanisms. Because if it's another thing we talked about with UFOs and UAP in general, is like, if a country figures out anti-gravity, just for lack of a better word for it, a way to move without having combustion engines, that can move without, you know, at speeds that we don't understand, they win. It is a civilization level technology. Like, if you can move your plane anywhere on the surface of this planet within under a minute, because you can manipulate gravity, and it explodes the sciences, it collapses the petrol dollar, like, all of these things, if this is true, like, and we do have it, the reason I can see it being hidden, especially as we watch our world around us today, is the dollar, is money, right? Like, it collapses. We are looking at the Strait of Hormuz alone, showing how powerful and how much this world runs on the petrodollar, like, on oil. And if that vanishes overnight, entire economies fucking collapse, including America's. And, like, if that technology exists and there is zero point energy and this ability to manipulate gravity or however they go about it, that is civilization, ending and dominating and defining technology. Why would anyone who's currently running the world the way it's being run want any of that out? Like, I don't think it's alien related. Maybe there's a fraction of, like, we started researching this because of UAP phenomenon or whatever. But I think it's a much more logical read to say this is world politics, technology politics at play, with the economy and the powers that be not wanting the way they hold power to collapse. That's what makes sense to me. I don't know what your thoughts on it are, but there, like you said earlier in the other episode, though, like there's now an official FBI investigation with the combined with the DOE, the Department of War, whatever they fucking call it now, and a couple other departments. Like they're opening up an investigation into this, however much we want to even trust that shit, you know, today with our government. But it's weird, you know, and as these like family and friends of Eskridge are releasing texts they had with her leading up to her death, it's like it's very clear, like she was being targeted for a long time and whatever she was working on, you know, it's bizarre. I don't know what to think of it. I think there's just, I hate to say it, but I just think there's greed. Humanity's greed is probably at the center of these people going missing.
Yeah. I mean, it's starting to feel just real. It's starting to just feel like some people getting killed for some reason.
Yeah. Like it, I guess I don't know enough about what each person was working on, but it is weird for sure. But the connective tissue, I don't know how much is real, but I do know that all these people are like, yo, I'm not gonna kill myself. So like, don't believe that shit. And then they're dead. So, and that is weird.
But so too did David Wilcox say that. And he just.
Yeah, he's another one. David Wilcox is one that's like, I am not suicidal. And the next day he was dead. He said on video the day before and the day after he was dead. And there's the other aspect too that muddies it.
He's like, by the way, not a expert scientist. He is like UFO. Like disclosure specific UFO.
I mean, that's why YouTuber. I'm wondering about the connective tissue, because I feel like there might be some disparate things happening.
Yeah, it might be. And the other thing that makes it muddy too is there are some of the scientists who were killed, like specifically the guy who was shot on his front lawn that they're looping into this, that are not related to this, that are just happenstance, random acts of cruelty and crime that caused it. And there may very well be some in there that are suicides, like legit suicides, but it's the patterns of like the people who take their guns and nothing else and leave. People like Eskridge and Wilcox who are like, I'm not suicidal, like they were trying to get things published or whatever, and then they die. It's a weird thing, and that's really all there is to it, because it's like, what else can you even say? Like, I don't know what else there is to say. It's notable and it is real, and that's really it. Where the connective tissue stops and where it begins, we don't know. Like Jesse said, none of us can say that we know enough about what they were doing within the government to warrant why they would be targeted that way. We'll never know that, as much as we would like to know. I don't think we'll ever know.
I'm trying to look even like in any of these listings and it being like specifically anything that they said that links to anything that they're doing, anything that's like, they are trying to kill me because XYZ. There really isn't that.
Right.
Yeah. No, only Eskridge's texts have anything like that, where she thinks it's because of her anti-gravity research that she's waiting for NASA's approval to publish or something. And she was, there's a whole thing with her where she's like, one group of people was saying it's fine, you move forward. The other group of people is saying, you know what we do, what happens to people who try to do this. And like, it's crazy. It's crazy. So we will keep updating you as like things come out, or if this goes by the wayside and it disappears like the drone thing did.
It's something. Whatever it is, we're seeing it. It's crossed the point where it's literally like, not real. Like we're not, you know, playing poo sticks now.
Yeah, exactly. There's something is there is happening. So just keep your eyes on it. Who knows? And obviously do your research, even with the FBI on it. I mean, it's Cash Patel's FBI. So like, let's not.
Not for long, baby.
Yeah. He's imploding as we speak. We'll see. Dude, but that's it.
He fucked up so bad.
They all will. At
he
some
opened
point.
The DOJ by with this lawsuit, man.
When we
he
cover
the DOJ to like depositions over whether or not he's good at his job.
It's almost like
he like the, like he it's like the most. It's like the
yeah,
most
like
self-owning.
Know what he's doing.
It's like the most self-owning thing he could have possibly done in this situation. He's just gonna basically get a bunch of people in court saying he sucks.
Yep.
Basically what's going to happen. Anyway,
That's it for us. We're out of here. We'll be back next week with a brand new minisode. We appreciate your support here at patreon.com/chillingmidnightpod. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Love on Danzu.
Bye.